On this episode of C-Level, I speak with Brad Olecki, CEO and founder of Trenches Sports and Entertainment Consulting. Brad, so welcome. So tell me, thank you for coming out. So tell me a little bit about like your background and, you know, just how you got started.
You know, I've played sports my whole life, and I went into college thinking that I was going to go and kind of follow my dad's footsteps of being the sales guy in the industrial sales industry, right? Selling toilet paper and napkins and those kind of things.
That's what
I did working his warehouses, you know, prior to, you know, high school and middle school and whatnot.
Right.
So I went in knowing I wanted to be in sales. I didn't know a whole lot about the sports industry. Went to college, played football, got into marketing, fell in love with kind of the brand aspect of things. Mm-hmm. And then as I was coming out of college, I still didn't know what avenue to take to get into sports. So I was interviewing with, you know, big companies like 3M and those types of places. And
for sales?
For sales, yeah. General sales jobs, selling, I mean, boring stuff. You know, janitory and sanitation products and that kind of stuff. Real.
It's like, what do you do? I sell toilet paper.
Look, you can make a lot more money doing that than probably what I did starting off. And you know, a good example of that is I got offered this job by 3M to, you know, make $48,000 a year in a company car, and I could go to one of these four cities they offered. And instead of doing that, I took this internship with the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl and worked for a pretty great group of guys there that that taught me a tremendous amount about the business. Mm-hmm. So I started as a glorified intern with the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl here in town. And then, you know, from there, just got more into the brand sponsorship side. Had a couple of mentors that helped me along the way that got me into working for a group that Paul Allen owned called Action Sports Media. Mm-hmm. They had a cable channel up in the Pacific Northwest,
right.
And they were putting in video boards in university football and basketball stadiums and arenas prior to athletic directors wanting to buy the biggest and the best. Right, if you can remember. Back then, not everybody had one, and athletic directors didn't want to put the expense together,
so they
would install them, and we maintained the rights for the signage and the video content.
Huh.
So I started in the fulfillment side of the business, learned a tremendous amount from a mentor of mine named Bill Hodge, and then we, you know, learned how to sell this stuff, learned how to sell, you know, sponsorships, and from there went into another great company with College Sports and ISP Sports, which is now Learfield IMG College after a couple mergers. Mm-hmm. Worked in the pro side for a few years with the Hawks and Thrashers. Mm-hmm. Missed the Thrashers. Live hockey is incredible.
Yeah.
And then left there and went to the College Football Hall of Fame. So it's kind of this journey of working on incredible properties that mm-hmm. gave me the chance to do what I do now, which I love with Trenches.
It's cool to see because you know you were in football. You played ball, and now you're because you understand the sports world.
Right.
And then also the selling aspect of it too. It's very similar to kind of like my story is because I sold Yellow Pages advertising back in the day, right?
Yeah.
But I always worked in the entertainment business, and because of that sales experience, and then when I stepped foot in the entertainment business, I was able, you know, I do the sponsorships for movies and TV shows and product placement and stuff like that. So it's funny, our stories are kind of similar where it sounds like, you know, you were in the sports field, you understand that, and then you learned how to sell, and then you're now connecting brands to you know, sports.
Yeah, and it's so rare that your personal passion and your profession get to intersect.
Right.
And the College Football Hall of Fame was that for me. Mm. I accredit most of my professional and personal success to what I learned on the football field and what I learned through my players and my coaches. Mm-hmm. My teammates. I mean, it's incredible when you go into a place like Morehead, Kentucky, which is in the middle of Appalachia, and you have people from all across the East Coast and the Southeast and the Midwest coming in, different walks of life, right?
Right.
And then the coaches that I learned from and the different things that I learned there allowed me to truly enjoy this appreciation for what that game meant to me, what it meant to my family. And when you bring that together with what the College Football Hall of Fame was, their mission was to preserve, protect, and promote the game, mm-hmm. and to show that it is a sport that truly teaches life lessons, mm-hmm. not just banging heads.
Right.
So when I got to be able to go to brands and tell that story and share the mission of what we were building in Atlanta, mm-hmm. it was a natural fit. My passion obviously came out. They were able to appreciate and understand exactly what we were trying to accomplish, and I think they got excited about it as well. And of course, they're brands who were deeply invested in college athletics. Mm-hmm. They get it. particularly the passion that lies around college football. And now I get to do the same thing actually with Trenches, with a lot of the different properties that we represent and some high school stuff that we're doing, and just having that easy transition between what I'm so passionate about, what I believe is such an important part of our fabric, and to take that to a brand, it makes the sales part of it easy.
Yep, because you get it, and you know you've become, you know, this thought leader, you know, in your field, to where you know you understand the sport, so you're able to speak to that, and then you understand the advertiser and connecting the two. It's cool. It's funny, like in sales, you know. People ask me, what do you sell? And it's like, well, I've never sold anything. I just make a couple of recommendations from my experience and people buy from me.
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, when you understand both sides, you're connecting the sponsor, the advertiser, to the medium, which in your case is the sports arena.
Right. I mean, we try to sell solutions, mm-hmm. right? I don't want to be transactional.
Right.
How can we create a comprehensive platform that brands can utilize, that have multiple tentacles, mm-hmm. that they're able to utilize as either an amplifying aspect to a bigger platform that they have, or to create smaller platforms that, again, will impact their consumers, allow them to talk to their consumers in a meaningful way. If I go in and just try to hammer one thing that may or may not fit for them without truly understanding mm-hmm. their brand objectives right. and their mission and what's worked for them in the past, well, one, you know, they're not going to respect us moving forward, and two, I'm not going to make the quote-unquote sale.
Right.
You know, if I go in and start to learn first, I got a much better chance of success. They may not buy right now,
right.
but we may have something down the road that makes sense for them. And that's what, again, with Trenches, we try to create this aggregation of multiple assets that can work for brands mm-hmm. on multiple levels, so that at some point, whether it's one of our clients that we have a retainer with mm-hmm. that works with us on a daily basis, or other associations that we have, we can take the brand to them to, again, solve for what would work for them.
Yeah, and I think the solution-based selling, it's just, you know, asking questions. I think a lot of times, you know, when people are starting out in business, starting their own company, and they're just trying to sell, it's like they're just trying to sell a product because they want to make revenue, and it's like, that's backwards. Find out what your customer needs. Like, ask the questions. You know, the biggest thing that I see in sales meetings and sales calls, and sometimes, like, you know, I'll go out with our sales reps and I'll hear, you know, what they're saying is they're speaking too much. Yeah. You know, like, ask a question and then listen. And then listen to what the client's looking for. And then when you're actively listening to what the client's looking for, you can then can build that product that suits their needs, because it's always them first.
Right. You know? Well, it's the old sentiment of you have two ears and one mouth, right? For a reason.
Right.
I actually used that last night with our Cub Scout pack. I said, guys, look, you got two ears and one mouth. Let's listen, let's learn more than we talk. Right. And I think that applies perfectly in sales.
Yeah.
If you jump right into what I can do for you and what great assets we have, well, you haven't learned what their objectives are.
Right.
You haven't identified, has something they've tried in the past been similar to this that failed miserably.
Right.
And on top of it, it doesn't give you the opportunity to pivot mm-hmm. once they throw out other objections. You know, one of the I think the most talented things a salesman could have is the ability to accomplish or to address those objections mm-hmm. and to pivot their value proposition accordingly, so that they're able to have that
right.
that continued dialogue.
Right.
You know, it's hard. It's hard to just not jump in there right away with the 30 minutes you get and go, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
You know, you got to listen first. You got to understand what they're looking for.
Yeah, and I think, and what I always say is, like, you're trying to find, because the biggest emotion is pain points, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so the customer's trying to solve a pain point, right? That you know, their current marketing plan is not delivering, or they've never done a current marketing plan and they know they're behind on the eight ball.
Right.
And asking those questions and finding those pain points, and then having your product fit those pain points, and then explain the reasons why, instead of just product dumping.
Right.
You know, like, you have to kind of bring it back to, this is how this is going to solve, you know, your marketing issues currently, or what has happened to you in the past before.
Right. And figure out, you know, what is it that we can do to evolve the partnership mm-hmm. over time.
Right.
If we try this, let's be able to, again, to adjust in midstream and move forward to strengthen that partnership. And I think in an environment where brand executives have so many choices mm-hmm. and now digital is this incredible platform that we used to say nobody gets fired for buying TV or ESPN. Mm-hmm. Well, now nobody gets fired for the digital space. Mm-hmm. So it's comfortable and it's easy. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, there's a lot of talent that goes into finding the right play, but right. with sponsorship, it's about finding the right thing that helps amplify their existing programs and messaging, mm-hmm. And then adjusting as you go through. You know, if you just come in and set the asset package at one thing and let it go, it's not going to work for anybody.
Right.
And you've got to make sure that, obviously, the reason we call our company Trenches is because we want to be the offensive lineman, right? We want the brand executive to be the quarterback that gets all the publicity,
right?
Because they look good, because they made the right decision.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's I love that, because that was going to be my next question is you know the meaning behind Trenches and the fact that you were an O lineman yourself, right?
But what gave it away?
Well, I read your bio, so but you know that, like, yeah. you know, kind of giving all the glory to the brand manager. That's really cool. I appreciate
that. It's yeah. something that a good friend of mine sat down, and I was trying to figure out what the heck we were going to call this thing. Mm. And you try to find something that is true to you, right?
Yep.
That you can truly get behind.
Yep.
And I struggled with it. And I talked to a lot of people, and they started talking to me about kind of this mentality that I try to live with, which is, again, just getting in the muck, doing the work.
Yep.
Trying to be a multi-talented player to be able to play different positions, mm-hmm. As a metaphor, and then be able to say, you know, look, you can count on me.
Right.
And I think the offensive lineman mentality is a great one. So as we started talking and playing off of that, you know, Trenches came to light, and mm-hmm. obviously the fact that, one, we're going to do the dirty work, mm-hmm. right? We want to be in the trenches for your brand mm-hmm. or for your property. And then it allows us on both sides, because we do have two clients. You know, we have the properties that we represent, mm-hmm. and then we have the brands that we sell them to. Do we connect them with?
Right.
We want to make both of them look good. We don't need to be in the limelight right. at the end of the day.
Right.
So again, as long as there's no holding penalties, we can, we can do what we need to do and get everything across the goal line. To use way too many college football metaphors.
No, that's great. So explain some of your what's your process like in. Right. going about connecting a brand to a certain property?
So for us, it's about finding unique properties. And we've got some pretty great property partners that we love working with mm-hmm. that range from the NFL and the MLS all the way down to kind of iconic family properties in the Harlem Globetrotters mm-hmm. and high school sports. Mm-hmm. So what we want to find is a property that has good people, mm-hmm. that has a desire to connect with good brands and to create, again, that solutions-oriented value proposition. And then to be able to focus on, you know, how can we align them with brands that are looking for, whether it be that amplifying platform, that, you know, that the more solutions, regional in some cases. And it's important that we, you know, we don't try to take the gold watches and the gold chains to right. every brand.
Right.
So we need to have a diverse set of assets that we can take to different brands, because if I call on AT&T, whose platform is college football, and try to pitch them something else, well, I'm not going to get a great response. It
right.
shows that I'm not paying attention to what AT&T has done.
Right.
Of course, they have many other platforms, but you get the point. Mm-hmm. So if we can find a property that is unique, that has that strong value proposition, that is looking at doing things a little different and not just wanting to be transactional, mm-hmm. that allows us to be very comfortable and very passionate when we go to the market. Mm-hmm. So those properties are key. And we want to aggregate them in kind of two verticals. One are the annualized sponsorship platforms that we can say, you know, you can be a partner of the Chicago Fire's jersey patch deal.
Right.
You can be a sponsor of the Carolina Panthers and build an incredible experience inside Bank of America Stadium. Mm. Right. We can create an incredible youth-based initiative with the Harlem Globetrotters. And then we have naming rights, which is a great asset for us as well, which is a very unique asset in that it's not a fit for every single brand. And we work in college athletics primarily with, you know, App State football, West Virginia basketball, Ole Miss basketball, Washington State football. And a great asset in kind of a municipality, but also a university focus with Lakefront Arena down in New Orleans and the University of New Orleans. So finding brands and running those searches for those properties and finding the brands that make sense is really a challenge, because there's not too many things harder to do than to sell naming rights, because again, you have to find the right fit, and it's not just about the marketing asset. So, I think the long-winded answer is finding the right property that we can, again, go to a brand and be comfortable saying, we know we can create something for you here that works.
Right, and it's funny because we experienced that, you know, in our agency too, is like, because we have brands that are looking for a specific genre of movie or specific genre of TV show, and what that market is for that movie or that television show is very important for us to identify, all right, what's the brand, where are they trying to reach, like who are they trying to reach, and then let's find that property, right? Let's find that movie or TV show, that series or whatever, to connect that brand to make sure that it maximizes the value if they're doing any type of, you know, advertising, product placement, you know. Market.
I mean, we preach authenticity, right? It doesn't make sense if you try to ram a square peg in a round hole.
Right.
You've got to find a way for it to be authentic.
Right.
The College Football Hall of Fame, that was kind of our key platform. It was like, who's invested in college football?
Yep.
Who calls Atlanta or Georgia home? And then, you know, how do we make an authentic connection so it doesn't interfere with the guest experience or the fan experience, but adds value to that experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important. You go into some places and some things will look out of line. That partnership doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense there.
Right.
And some will surprise you.
Yeah.
Right. And then others you look at and go, wow, that's a really great natural fit. That has enhanced my time here, my experience, and I know that everybody else is enjoying it.
Yeah.
Right, that's important.
So in your journey, how many years have you been in business?
Going on 20. Wow. Well, Trenches, 4.
Okay.
But I've been doing this for about 20 years.
Yeah. So what were some of the hurdles? What were some of the ups and the downs? What were some of the things that, if you could share to?
I mean, I didn't realize how hard this was. I had never really had an entrepreneurial itch. Mm. And then as I was coming through the College Football Hall of Fame project, you realize that, hey, I got to figure out what's next. I'm not built to run a museum.
Right.
We had a great team there, incredible people that made that thing what it is. And now it's in good hands. Mm-hmm. But as I talked to a couple mentors and a couple other peers, it was like, look, you got this niche. You have properties like the College Football Hall of Fame and this mentality, which we just talked about, that you could apply to help other properties. Mm-hmm. So jumping in, that made sense. I kind of took that leap. And luckily, who I call my CFO, my wife, was very supportive of that. She works in sports, too. She's very supportive of the leap. And so I got into it. And then you got to find your first client.
Right.
I luckily have a great business partner who took a small risk on me and got me going, and is still a great part of Trenches today. You find the first property, and the first property was not one that is the most sellable, but they took a risk on me. I took a risk on them, and it got us going. And then from there, you get some great assets. You rely on a lot of good friends. And then you hope to build to a point where the word of mouth and the reputation starts driving referrals, so you're not constantly in business development mode and sales mode. And I think the biggest challenge that I've found through this whole thing is bandwidth, right? Bandwidth and personnel. Mm-hmm. Finding the right people to be on your team and properly scheduling and managing your bandwidth so that you can service every client, especially on the property side. I mean, they have high expectations.
Right?
It's managing those expectations, managing the pipeline, if you will, and making sure that your team is all rowing in the same direction. So I love the sales aspect of it, but I hate the administrative stuff. I mean, that's the hard part,
right?
Because it takes away from what you think is the ultimate goal, but you have to be fine-tuned in all aspects of your business in order to run efficiently. It's like you can't have, you know, an engine that's not running properly. The car's not gonna work the way that it should.
Right.
We've gotta make sure that we're all, again, rowing in the same direction.
And the transition to sales to becoming, you know, business owner, entrepreneur, right, CEO. Right. There's so many other levels, you know, for when you're just selling for yourself, it's like, all right, I got a quota hit, I'm gonna blow my quota out of the water, and that's it. I go home at night, I sleep. It's not the way, like when you start, you know, your own business, because now you're looking into, okay, let me get these sales coming in. I've got money, you know, coming into the company. Right. Now I got to hire a sales rep, or now I got to hire support, right? So talent, you know, that's the biggest thing. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs, they put this framework in place for their business.
Right.
Then they've got to let that go. And I think that's challenging for some entrepreneurs and some business owners, is that, you know, eventually, you know, you've built this thing over the years, but in order to scale, you've got to entrust that with somebody else. And building a strong team, I think, is really, you know, really important.
You know, it's so hard. You're exactly right, because you do have to have that level of trust. Mm. You have to have the right people that you can trust. And you have to have those people. I mean, I think if you were to boil it down, really what was the hardest part for me, being a team guy, being solo for a while was like, you kind of look around.
Yeah.
Like, who am I supposed to high five?
Right.
Who am
right.
I supposed to right. brainstorm with?
Right.
How can I pull this thread by myself? I need other people to thrive off of and to pull from.
Yeah.
And having a team allows you to do that, yep. right? And having a team that is, you know, multi-generational mm-hmm. as well.
Yep.
Younger and older team members that you can sit around a table and start to brainstorm on what may make sense for this property, what brand would make
right.
sense. How do we take that idea and start to, you know, unravel it? But just, you know, my wife got tired of listening to me talk about work probably at home for the first year and
right.
a half as I was on my own. And then you start to build this team, and then of course the whole thing changes to your point.
Yeah.
You gotta have that trust, and you gotta make sure that they're, again, they're pulling on the oars the right way.
Yeah, and I think what you mentioned too, like the multi-generational team too is important, especially in the industry that we're in, you know, with advertising and technology always changing, and where the audience is, that's the biggest thing too, is you know, you've got to always have your innovators and your people that are you know, bringing new ideas, and I always, you know, with the team, you know, the way we structure it is like, I like having everybody's input, you know, I like, because you're getting you know, different walks of life, different experiences, and when you come together as a team, you're able to create a more effective campaign if it's just somebody at the top saying, no, this is the way it's going to be, and then that's it.
Right.
You know, and I think having that collaborative field, especially in the industry that we're in, is important. You know, because the brand's getting the best bang for the buck that way, because
right.
they've got a lot of brains working on it as opposed to just one decision maker.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to your point, if there was one formula that worked in sales, it would be easy and everybody could do it, and they didn't
sure.
need salespeople. And, you know, there is no magic formula to get somebody to respond, particularly in the brand space where they have a million different opportunities that they're looking at and getting
right.
hit up 100 times a day
right.
with other opportunities.
Right.
So Anne and my on our team, you know, she's a recent graduate from Clemson and is phenomenal. But we'll sit there and talk about, okay, who is the person that we're trying to reach?
Mm-hmm.
What demographic do they fall in? And do we take your approach as a young, up-and-coming sports, you know, person who,
right.
or, you know, sports executive who wants to learn?
Yeah.
Or do we take my old approach of like, hey, CEO, experienced guy,
right.
here you
right.
go.
Right.
And I don't know if there's a right answer one way or the other, and it really depends. And we've had great success with a myriad of ways
mm-hmm.
that you can reach people. And I think there's a little bit of luck that needs to get in there too. And
yeah.
aggressive, you know, the more, you know, velocity and the more outreach that you have, the more you're going to get lucky, the more you're going to figure out which of those assets will work for you,
mm-hmm.
which of those approaches will work for you.
Right. So where do you see the future of the company? Where are you guys go? Where are you headed? What's on the horizon?
Yeah, I think the big thing for us, again, naming rights in the college space is really starting to kind of hit that crest and really take off.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen some big deals. You've seen some unique deals in that space. So it's something we're very excited about. I think high school sports for us is something that I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
We have created a platform called Friday Night Rights, which is kind of a one-stop
yeah.
shop for brands that are looking to create scale in the high
mm-hmm.
school space. You know, unlike sports, high school is, you know, they don't have fans, they have participants. Whether you're a student, athlete, you are a consumer, you are also an influencer for your parents'
right.
dollars.
Right. Right.
Your parents are participants. They're not just fans. That parent can be a Georgia Bulldog fan,
mm-hmm.
but if they're a Harrison Hoya, that takes precedent because your mm-hmm. kid is playing, your kid is engaged.
Right.
So I think that level of engagement with high school families
mm-hmm.
is a great place for brands, but there hasn't been too many solutions for brands to take advantage of and to truly scale, you know, the 19,500 schools. And here in Atlanta, we've got, you know, the National Federation of High School Sports Network, which
right.
is incredible
yep.
with the Play On Sports guys. We've got Huddle guys. I mean, there's a lot of great high school folks here in town
mm-hmm.
that we're looking to continue to align with. And, you know, I'm a big believer in collaboration in this space.
Yeah.
So, you know, for us, it's also looking at how do we scale our business
mm-hmm.
To create more bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a priority for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing in another sales executive. It's actually, I'm in the midst of that from an administrative standpoint right now. We had
yeah.
a great seller that left and took another opportunity, which is fantastic. We're excited for him.
Yeah.
But finding another person and figuring out what path do we take is exactly where I am today, trying to determine the, you know, getting the right person, the right fit that ultimately allows us to be successful while on a clock.
Right, and that's the thing too. I mean, you know, we're in the economy as of right now. You know, it's a really good job market. Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing a lot of, you know, CEOs and entrepreneurs say is that, you know, good talent's really hard to find, and finding that right person. So it's almost like you've got to always have your ear, you know, to the marketplace and kind of know what type of talent's out there. So when that opportunity, like when you do have an opening, you have like your go-to list, you know, and I think that's important too. Like, you know, identifying who you want to bring onto your team, you know, and getting them in early and then starting to coach them on, you know, company culture and, you know, experience, especially if you want to expand. You know, I think that's going to be really important in the future.
Well, you know, you try to find that, especially as an entrepreneur, you got to find the right mix of, do I bring somebody in that is very experienced, that can move the needle and pay them?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or do I try to find that person who I know is going to be hungry?
Mm-hmm.
And I was having a conversation the other day with somebody who, you know, said, if you find that person who's got five-ish years of experience and, you know, is not going to cost you an arm and a leg and is hungry, call me, because I think we're all looking for him.
Right.
You know, I think that's, and that's the point. Yeah. I mean, look, we're all trying to find that right fit.
Right.
And particularly with a small group like us, culture is key.
Yep.
You can't have butting heads. You can't have people who don't work well together, because we are literally in the trenches every day trying to figure out, you know, how do we solve for our property partners and how do we get in front of more brands? Because that has become more and more challenging, as you know, more and more challenging every day to get responses, because people's workload is just completely, you know, they're buried.
Right. And, you know, and I think the whole culture thing with employees, like having, you know, I always say that, you know, we're a family, you know, we're a family here, and that, you know, loving mentality and you know, it trickles down to the clients too.
Right.
The clients feel that, because, you know, you've got some of these companies to where, you know, you ask the employee, you know, how they're doing. They're like, I'm doing great today. You know, it's like, how are you doing? You know, and it's like, it trickles down to the guest experience. You see us in the hotel industry. I think, you know, one of the, I'm not sure if it was the Hyatt or the Hilton or one of these hotel facilities, the Marriott, or something like that, right? To where they're training their employees. You know, and it's got such a good culture that everyone from like the maintenance guy, you know, has got a smile on his face. And when clients come, you know, so it's like I think building a good, strong culture inside a company, you know, and empowering your employees, you know, it's going to trickle down to your clients, and it's going to make it a lot easier to retain clients and find new ones.
Yeah. I mean, my pleasure, you know, mentality of Chick-fil-A.
Yep, Chick-fil-A.
Is something that really resonated with me, because they are obviously the founding partner,
right.
Chick-fil-A, with their involvement with the bowl, and now the Chick-fil-A College Football Hall of Fame. That Hall of Fame doesn't stand without Chick-fil-A's involvement.
Right.
And even the way we trained our frontline fan ambassadors was through that Chick-fil-A second mile service, you know, and the Disney mentality, the Disney culture. I mean, you want your people to understand that everybody may have something going on that you don't know about, but if you smile,
Did you see their corporate video? They Chick-fil-A's. Have Chick-fil-A's video. Chick-fil-A has this corporate video where it's showing their customers coming in and
the little things pop up.
Yeah, of what they're going through in their life.
It's incredible.
And same thing, and it goes right down to everybody. Like, you have no idea like what they're walking in from. They might have just got fired from their job, and this is like a meal that they're going to have, you know, and then they're going to go home and have to tell their husband or wife that they just lost their job. You know, you never know what people are walking through. And I think when you can look at, you know, look at your customers through that lens, or look at even just humans, individuals, and say, you know what, I don't know what this person's going through, so I'm just going to treat them, you know, kind with empathy and care and love, you know, even though they're being rude to me today or whatever. I don't know, and I have to respect that. And maybe, just maybe, I can brighten up their life.
To be able to handle what you're dealing with on a daily basis and to understand what they're dealing with and to, you know, be able to engage together to work through it and to get the job done.
Right.
And that's why I'm, again, a big fan of teamwork, because the more people that come together, the more you start to thrive and pull from each other, mm-hmm. and that excitement will build and bubble. You know, one of the great follows, if you're not already on LinkedIn, is mm-hmm. Dan Caffey.
He's
phenomenal. Every day he'll post something that makes me go, wow, that's why I loved working with that organization. That's right. why they are what they are and why people appreciate what they do. And, you know, their CMO, their former CMO, Steve Robinson, was mm-hmm. was phenomenal in the College Football Hall of Fame asset. And they brought that to every day. So you walk in there, you know the type of experience that you're going to have, and you can release a little bit. You can break away from some of the crap that you're dealing with
right.
to enjoy that moment. And I think that's what sports and music provides, right?
Right.
I mean, the music space in Georgia is thriving because people are constantly working together to evolve, and we're, you know, working with some exciting things to get those people to continue to come together to do some cool stuff in the music space. So it's not just sports for us as well, which is exciting.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people that, you know, follow the content, you know, they're entrepreneurs and or they're business owners or looking to go into business for themselves. What's some advice that you'd want to give somebody that wants to either start their own agency or,
yeah.
you know?
I think, one, talk to the people that you're closest with and the people that you trust to figure out what your niche is. Mm-hmm. I had a mentor of mine, Rick Jones, who owns another agency and is one of the best sellers in our space. He said, the riches are in the niches, mm-hmm. you know, and I believe that. I think you got to find the right avenue. And then don't make sure your stakes are so tight in the ground that you can't pick them up and move them a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'll learn and evolve.
Yep.
the evolution of your business or your agency will change within the first 60 days and the first 6 years,
yep.
and probably 100 times between and after.
Yeah.
So being flexible and nimble, listen to those people around you that are going to try to help you, mm-hmm. but make up your own mind and your own decision. And you know, I think it's just hard work. It takes a little bit of grit, mm-hmm. you know,
oh, yeah.
because there's no safety net.
Nope.
And
when you're at the top, the buck stops with you.
Well, it does. And you know, I mean, there's no. I'm paying my own expenses to go someplace, and I got to decide right now, is that the right time and financial expense for me to jump on a plane and go somewhere because it's going to cost me $1,000?
Right.
Am I going to hire this person? Are they going to be able to produce for this business so that I'm not, you know, robbing myself?
Right.
To pay someone to do a job that they may not be doing that well.
Right.
I think it's finding those types of decisions and finding people that you can trust in is important, and don't be afraid of the hard work. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we have enough grit nowadays in people.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Scraping and clawing to get it done.
How much it takes. It takes a lot.
It does.
You know.
And you got to get lucky.
Yeah.
And you got to have a great network.
Right.
But you have to have this
support,
this self awareness mm-hmm. of the types of things that you need to do, and that nobody's in business to make you successful.
Right.
That's your job.
That's your job. Yep.
Right. So if your job is to make yourself successful, what am I going to do to continue to lift those up around me so that mm-hmm. we can work together and be successful?
And you know, the thing is, and I try to instill that in you know, in our employees as well, is that like, Everything that I do is affecting you guys. I want you to think of that too. So holding yourself accountable. So showing up early, leaving late, like you're doing these things not only just for you, you know, but for the others around you. Like staying, you know, making sure the job gets done. It's not just about you. You know, the company feeds other families and babies, you know, like people have kids, stuff like that. Start thinking that way. When you start thinking of the family mentality and you take the focus off of yourself and you focus on somebody else, how can I make their day better? How can I take that off their plate?
Right.
You know, that's what's going to get you far in life. And straight down to the head of the company, the CEO, the founder, you need to have that type of mentality if you want to have a culture to where, you know, people genuinely enjoy coming to work. It's not a job. It's they genuinely enjoy coming to work because they enjoy hanging out with the people that they're with.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, we're in a group of, I don't care if you're in the office from 9 to 5 every day. I want you just working and being engaged and thinking about it.
Right.
Not to interfere with your family or your personal life, but figure out how can the two work well together.
Yeah.
so that if something hits you, you make a note so we can talk about it in the morning.
Yeah.
If you have a job that you need to do, well, you may need to sit down after dinner and put a couple hours of work in.
Right.
I mean, some of my best work is done after the kids are in bed and I can catch up on emails and catch up on some administrative stuff that I hadn't been able to do during the day.
Yep.
So there's no clock that you punch.
Definitely no clock for a CEO.
No, there's no. And we want that mentality for our entire team because, you know, again, this is fun. Yeah. You could be selling toilet paper
exactly.
I was going down that road. But I mean, you're working in sports.
Yeah.
You know, the people who say I love sports, I want to work in sports, have the wrong approach because of that hard work and the fact that your vision of sports changes drastically when you work from within inside.
Right.
But not too many people get to do and talk about the stuff that we get to talk about every day.
Yeah.
You know, sports and music is something that people strive to be in because they think it's exciting and it is if you do it the right way and you put yourself in the right position and you continue to have that, you know, that hard work that gets you there.
Yeah. Right. Hey, Brad, I really appreciate you coming
thank
out.
You.
Thanks, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yep. Hey, guys, thanks for tuning into the episode. If you guys enjoyed it, show some love, give me a thumbs up, and subscribe. Also, make sure you check out our exclusive C-Level group on Facebook.